You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Sean Carlson. The Museum of Modern Art will reopen to the public on Monday. That's after a $450 million expansion. It added about a third more exhibition space. It also completely reconfigured the museum, with some of its rooms mixing together works from different art movements and different media. Here to talk with us about this reimagined icon is Glenn Lowry. He's director of the MoMA. Hey, Glenn, thanks for joining us.
Hello. I'm happy to be here.
So historically, MoMA has been known for presenting art kind of as a series of isms, right? You go into one room, you'd have cubism, you'd have surrealism in another room, abstract expressionism in another. And it has come under criticism for that. But now art history is presented less as a linear narrative and more as kind of history branching off into different directions at once. Can you describe that process a little bit?
I think you have to remember that the Museum of Modern Art has actually been many different museums over time. When we were founded in 1929, Alfred Barr, our first director, imagined the museum as a laboratory to whose experiments the public was invited. And he even said, nothing is permanent, not the art, not the fixtures, not the exhibitions. And I think what he meant by that is that we would be a work in progress. And so over time, as we developed a larger and ever more important collection, we settled into a kind of pattern that argued for a very linear reading of art, a kind of progression from post-impressionism to cubism to abstract expressionism to pop art and so on, as if that progression was inevitable. And in fact, the reality is that art was never that clear and simple, that history itself is a messy process, and our collection actually reflected that, even though it wasn't necessarily fully presented in terms of what was on view. So a lot of what we've tried to do is to collapse what had become two museums, the highly refined museum that was on display and the much more nuanced and complicated museum that was in the storage rooms. So today we know that there are arguments and competing arguments and contradictory arguments and new ideas all battling it out at any one moment. This sense of simultaneity is exciting and liberating, and that there are practices in Eastern Europe, in Asia, in India, in Latin America, in Africa, that are incredibly important to understand and to reflect in our own collection. So we've tried to retain, of course, the great masterworks that people come to see. They're there if you want to see them. But to surround them with new ideas and new conversations and new works of art that amplify their importance, but also introduce new practices to the museum.
Can you give us an example of two pieces maybe you've mixed together under that philosophy?
Well, there are a number of fabulous examples. So for instance, the Demoiselle d'Avignon, one of our most known works of art, is in a gallery that also includes a recent addition to our collection, Faith Ringgold's Die. But Faith, a great artist of the 60s and 70s, she's still alive, came to the museum and studied Picasso. So her painting is, in a way, a meditation on Picasso. And it informs us about Picasso just as Picasso informs us about her painting. So they're in this rich conversation with each other. Or Vasudeo Gaitonde, a great Indian artist whose painting we collected at the time he was making them in the 60s, but haven't shown probably since then. And yet, it's in a perfect conversation with Mark Rothko because both artists were interested in spirituality and Zen. And so you can create these moments when artists talk to each other across time and geography in really meaningful ways.
You know, you mentioned adding to your collection, and that's what we wanted to ask you. And the MoMA, under this new reimagining, has dug through the warehouse a little bit. But now it includes a lot more work from Latin America, from Asia and Africa. There's a lot more work from women and people of color. And it also seems a little more aware of social issues, things like immigration. Can you talk about that process and how that came into being and why that's important?
For sure. And indeed, you've put your finger on it. We've tried to show more artists from more places across more geographies, reflecting more practices than ever before. So there are five times more women today who are on display than a decade ago, for instance. In art from Latin America, from Africa, from Asia, China, Japan, India, the Middle East, on display, again, not for the first time, but in a kind of density that we've never been able to show before. And that's in part because we've received major gifts, like Patty Cisneros' gift of Latin American art that amplified our already rich holdings, or Jean Pigozzi's gift of African art that really gave us a nucleus for building a great collection of African art. But we've also gone digging in our own reserves. And what we've discovered is that over the decades, curators at the Museum of Modern Art have been out in the world, have been making really interesting interesting acquisitions. And while they hadn't been on display before, or if they'd been displayed only very rarely, they feel fresh and new today. And so we've been fortunate enough to integrate them with well-known works of art and with the new visitors that now make up our galleries.
When you describe it, it sounds like it's like a completely new museum. And the Museum of Modern Art, it's one of those cherished New York City institutions, right, where people go all the time. They walk into the museum, they know exactly where to go, they know where the galleries are. How would you tell a visitor how to navigate the museum now?
Well, I think the best way to navigate the museum is to kind of follow your nose, right? Pick what you like most and just wander around. Let yourself get lost. The museum isn't so complicated or so large that it's disorienting not to know exactly where you're going. But the reality of discovering a new museum is to see your old friends, the paintings and other objects that you've come to see, and along the way to catch something that's utterly new and to follow that to wherever it takes you. I happen to like starting at the top, because then everything is an easy descent.
Right.
I like gravity helping me.
Exactly.
But for those who like to ascend, the contemporary installations on the second floor are utterly ravishing. Far more art than we've ever been able to show by so many great artists, and often including works of art that are new to the collection that we haven't had a chance to display before.
One of the super exciting things about this reimagined MoMA is the ways that the museum is starting to engage with the public in different and new ways. Can you describe that a little bit about the public galleries?
Absolutely. I mean, we have felt all along that coming to the museum is a social exercise. You're looking at art with other people. And therefore, we wanted to stimulate conversations, conversations among friends, conversations among strangers, and of course, conversations with us and the artists that are on display. So we've created a fabulous new space. It's the Crown Creativity Lab. That's a kind of hub on the second floor, right off the Marin Atrium, where you can go and meet educators from the museum and begin a conversation, maybe partake in an art-making exercise or in a discussion about an individual work of art, talk to a curator, and then wander off into the galleries where there are facilitators throughout who will help you think about art, answer your questions. And of course, we have a rich app that gives you a ton of information if you want to learn more. Not only that, we've developed a whole series of drawing exercises for people who want to draw under supervision with a facilitator who might take you through a series of exercises to sharpen your own thinking about what you're looking at. But we encourage people to think of the museum as a place that stimulates your own creativity. And we want to, in a way, unleash that in all of us.
Glenn Lowry is the director of the Museum of Modern Art. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.